I'll be reading from Mark chapter 4, verses 35 to 41. On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was, and other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. He said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, "Who then is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?"
Well, hello again. Thank you very much to Bell and to Tess and to the rest of the team, to Ailey for reading for us. Thank you to our musicians this morning and all the way through the week. And to everyone who's made the past week possible, both at Holiday Club and those involved in Legacy. It has been a great week. Thank you very much for serving as you have done to make it all happen. I wonder, what are you afraid of? Nothing we get. What are you afraid of? People can be scared. People can be fearful of lots of different things, can't they? We often call those fears phobias. And there are lots of different kinds of phobia out there. And just to highlight that point, I've got a very short quiz for you. Young people, you might need some help from some adults. Adults, you might need some help from some other adults. And it's multiple choice. You are allowed to confer. Points will not be deducted because, there are no points. But we'll try anyway. There are some more unusual fears or phobias with unusual names. And the name of this quiz is to help me match the fear to the name. Okay, there'll be three options each time. And it will run through them. I'll give you a chance then to think and discuss, to confer, and then we'll raise hands to show which one you think it is. Our first fear is this one, dacidophobia. Dacidophobia, okay? Is it the fear of making decisions? Is it the fear of the number 10? Or is it the fear of garden decking? You have 30 seconds. Feel free to chat to the person next to you, and then we'll gather answers together. Okay, last 10 seconds. And we'll gather together and try and take a bit of a sounding as to what you came up with. Dacidophobia. We'll raise hands to show which one you thought it was. Firstly, who thought dacidophobia is the fear of making decisions? Hands up if that's you, if you think that's what it is. Okay, quite a good number. Super. Secondly, what about the fear of the number 10? How many folks thought it was the fear of number 10? Probably more, okay. Think it's the fear of number 10. And thirdly, who thought it's the fear of garden decking? Thirdly. We've got a solitary hand at the front. You'll be feeling very smug in a minute if you get it right. Okay, I guess that some of us have experience of decision-making being quite difficult. But for some people, it's more than just tricky. It's paralyzing. And that kind of fear is called Dacido, or I was being sneaky, it's really called decidophobia. Oh, okay, now you're all going to dislike me. That's okay. Secondly, our second fear, thalassophobia. Same drill again. Is thalassophobia the fear of deep water, the fear of caves, or the fear of broken glass? Again, 30 seconds to confer, and I'll bring us back together. Thank you. Okay. Let's gather our answers again. I know I've not given you long enough. But we'll gather together again. So how do we get on with thalassophobia? Firstly, who thought thalassophobia is a fear of deep water? Hands up if that's what you think it is. Okay, quite a fair number. Super. Okay, secondly, what about the fear of caves? How many folks thought it was a fear of caves? Good, okay. Quite a good number again. And thirdly and finally, who thought thalassophobia is the fear of broken glass? Okay, we've got a smattering of folks who think it's fear of broken glass. Well, if you put your hand up to the first option, the fear of deep water, you were correct. Thalassophobia is the fear of deep bodies of water, like seas or lakes. And what I want you to do, okay, is keep that one in your mind, okay, for the next few minutes, thalassophobia. Keep that one in your mind. We do have a third and last round before we return to that one, though. And I'm going to put my teeth in before I pronounce this one. What is hippopotamonstrosesquipedaliophobia? Okay. That felt like a sarcastic round of applause, but that's okay. What is hippopotamonstrosesquipedaliophobia? Is it the fear of monsters? Is it the fear of hippopotamuses or hippopotami? Or is it the fear of long words? Okay, 30 seconds and we'll gather together. Okay, I know that's not quite 30 seconds. But we'll gather together. Hands up, who thinks that hippopotamonstrosesquipedaliophobia, it took me all week to learn that, okay? Hands up, who thinks that that is the fear of monsters? Okay, we have a few folks who think it's the fear of monsters, okay. Secondly, who thinks it's the fear of hippopotamuses or hippopotami? Good, okay. And thirdly, who thinks it's the fear of long words? Lots of you who are very mean, but you are right. That word, I'm not going to try it again because my teeth will fall out. That word means the fear of long words. Now, it is clear, isn't it, even from that very short taster, that there are lots and lots of different kinds of fear out there. And that even if none of those things make you scared, I guess most of us would, if we're being honest, admit we're scared of something, and perhaps lots of things. There are some very common ones, fears of sort of touchable, tangible things like spiders or snakes, but other kinds of fear too, the fear of getting sick, for example, the fear of being alone, the fear of being out of control or being powerless. In a room like this one, I suspect, there'll be lots and lots of different fears. And the question we're going to spend just a very few minutes thinking about together now is, what do you do with that fear? What ought you to do with the things that really scare you, things that you face in life that leave you feeling powerless? Some people think the answer is to convince yourself there's nothing to be scared of. So if you are someone who finds the dark to be quite a scary thing, perhaps turning the light on might convince you there's nothing there to hurt you. Other people think the answer is to face your fears. They call that exposure therapy. And so if you happen to be scared of snakes, well, exposure therapy would have you spend as much time seeing and handling snakes as possible. But in the Bible passage we're going to think about together just for 10 or so minutes, this is exactly the question some of Jesus' followers have to answer. They face something, you see, that scares them a great deal. They're in a boat in the middle of the sea when a hurricane touches down. And they are completely powerless, and so they are terrified. And it's not hard to see why. That kind of fear is completely understandable in one sense. But what Jesus wanted them to see And what he wants us to see as readers this morning is that there is an answer to that kind of powerlessness, that kind of fear. And it doesn't come in persuading ourselves there's nothing to be scared of. It isn't exposure therapy even. The answer to that kind of fear, of that kind of powerlessness, says Jesus, is faith. Faith in the one who has real power. Let's think a bit more closely about Mark chapter 4 to do that. Our first heading is that Jesus is powerful, though we are powerless. Our reading starts in Mark chapter 4, verse 35. If you have a Bible with you, either in paper form or on a device, please have that open as we think about it for a few minutes. Jesus, in Mark 4, verse 35, is with some friends. Together they get into a boat at the end of a very long day, when, verse 38... Jesus falls asleep. While he's resting, though, a windstorm begins to build. A hurricane touches ground. Waves begin breaking over the bow of the boat, and the boat starts to fill with water. Now, one of the phobias we mentioned a few minutes ago was thalassophobia. Can anyone remember what thalassophobia is? It's a fear of deep water, you said. Well done. Sorry, I had some hands up from some folks at the front. Thalassophobia is a fear of deep water, like oceans or seas or lakes. And even if you aren't someone who's normally afraid of deep water, if you've ever been on a boat when it started to get a bit choppy, well, it can make any of us feel quite wobbly, can't it? And yet the people who are with Jesus in the boat, they didn't have thalassophobia. And we can be confident about that. And if you were at Holiday Club this week, well, you might be able to remember why. Because earlier in the week, you met some of them. They were men like Simon and James and Andrew, men who, before they had met Jesus, made a living from fishing. They spent their days working on boats out on the open water. They're as used to open seas, to choppy seas, as anyone. But just notice how they react as the waves are battering the boat. They're taking big lumps of water over the side. Verse 38. Teacher, they say to Jesus, do you not care that we are perishing? The sea is powerful, and they, can you see, are powerless. They think they're about to perish, they say, to die. And so they are terrified. And so what does Jesus do as he wakes up? Does he start to help them bail water out of the boat? Does he get them ready to abandon ship? Well, no. He does something that seems, on the face of it, really quite strange. Read with me again verse 39. And Jesus awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. Jesus speaks to the storm. Now, in case that doesn't sound all that strange to you, well, why don't you give it a go for yourself sometime? Next time you're out on a boat, or even down at the seafront, you try it. You try shouting at the waves to stop and see what happens. I'd be willing to guess the answer is nothing. Apart from maybe a few funny looks from passers-by, things won't change a jot. What Jesus does seems really pretty strange. He talks to the wind and the waves, and yet what happens next? Well, that's even more strange. Verse 39, and the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Jesus tells the wind and the waves to settle down, and like an obedient dog, they do exactly what they're told. Now, that is strange, isn't it? It's strange because it's so unlike anything we can do. If you happen to visit the beach at Balmedy, a bit further up the coast from here, and you take a look out to sea, you'll see something that looks a bit like this. Possibly a bit clearer, but given how much hard there's been over the past little while, possibly not much clearer. They're great big wind turbines standing out in the North Sea. I'm not going to pretend to you this morning that I have any inkling as to how they actually work. I'm sure someone here might be able to explain that better than I can. My understanding is that wind blows those great big propellers round and round, and the turbines somehow turn that movement into energy, into electricity eventually. And it's pretty amazing that people have been able to do that. But although we can harness power from the wind, but we don't have any real power over it, do we? We can sometimes get close to guessing what it might do in the future, maybe even to putting it to good use, but no one can do anything to stop it, can they? And yet what Mark is showing us is that Jesus did. And he did it by saying the word. Now that is real power, isn't it? And it's power that makes the people who were there ask a question. Mark chapter 4, verse 41. Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Who is this, they ask. And it's a question that we as readers are meant to be asking ourselves as we read too. Who is this? Jesus is the most famous person to have walked the face of the planet. And there are lots of different opinions out there about who he was, aren't there? Perhaps even different opinions in the room this morning. To some people, Jesus was an excellent teacher. To others, he was a kind man, someone we should all try to be more like. Whatever you think, though, everyone has to do something with these miracles, don't we? How could an ordinary man, even a great teacher, do such amazing things? How could he, as Holiday Club saw earlier this week, heal a paralyzed man, give a blind man back his sight? How could he, as Bell and Tess helped us to see earlier, die and come back to life again? That just doesn't happen, does it? Unless the person we're talking about is no ordinary person. Who is this man that even the winds and the sea obey him, that death itself obeys him? The answer to that question, Mark is showing us, is that he isn't an ordinary man. That he is the one through whom the wind and the waves were made in the first place. The one through whom people were given life in the first place. Jesus is none other than God himself. And yet amazing though that is, and it is amazing, that isn't all we're meant to see. Jesus calming the storm shows us who he is, but it also shows us what he came to do. What do I mean? Well, we walked our way through a number of different fears of things we might be scared of a few minutes ago, didn't we? The world we live in often feels like quite a sad and quite a scary and a chaotic place, a broken place even. And the Bible tells us that that's because it is. Things weren't always like this. The world God made was good. There was no chaos in the beginning. But then people decided we knew better than God. We turned our backs on him. We rejected him. And that ruined everything. It ruined our relationship with God. It meant that we can't be friends anymore. And it even ruined the world we live in. That's why things often seem so sad and so out of control. And throughout the Bible, the sea is used often as a picture of exactly those kinds of scary, uncontrollable forces. The things we face in our world that aren't as they should be, we know they aren't, and that we can't do anything about. And yet what we're being told, what we're being shown even, is that Jesus didn't only have enough power to calm that one storm, amazing though that is, but that he came to deal with all of the chaos in our world, to fix everything that was broken when we turned from God, and one day to bring ultimate peace. You see, Jesus is God himself, and he has come as the superhero above all superheroes to one day make everything right again. And that leaves all of us with a choice of how to respond. There are two different responses to Jesus and his power in Mark chapter 4. I wonder if you spotted those. Look back with me to Mark chapter 4, if you would, just for a moment. As the water's rising, things start looking really sketchy. The disciples wake Jesus in a panic, verse 38. Jesus stills the storm with a word, verse 39. And then just notice what Jesus asks them in verse 40. Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith? Fear and faith. Those are the two responses to Jesus in Mark chapter 4. They're the two responses as you read on in Mark chapter 5 as well. And just notice, it's as if they're opposites from one another. That either you keep ignoring Jesus or refuse to believe he is who he says he is and therefore live in fear, or you believe in him, have faith in him, in which case you need not live in fear. And I wonder which of those responses you'll make to Jesus. Will you live in fear, fear of the things we know we can't control? Or will we trust him, even in the face of the chaos of this world, as the only one who has power over it? Now, all of that might still leave some of us with questions, mightn't it? If Jesus is so strong, for example, why doesn't he stop the chaos we face each day? It's a good question. I'd be very glad to chat through that with you, as would Nathan or Joe or perhaps the person who brought you this morning, if it's something you're unsure about. But even if you don't have neat answers to everything, well, we can be sure that Jesus really does care. How can we be sure? Well, because Jesus is in the boat, isn't he? That Jesus Christ stepped down from heaven itself and stepped into the chaos of this world. Now, we see that quite literally in our story this morning, but we see it even more clearly later in Mark's account. As Holiday Club thought about on Friday, Jesus was battered by the chaos of a world who hated him, of friends who rejected him. He was put through an unfair trial, he was beaten up, and he was finally killed on a cross. Jesus went through all of that storm, and he did so to make sure that anyone who trusts in him would one day be rescued. Rescued to right relationship with him. And rescued to a promise that one day there will be no more crying, no more chaos, no more confusion. Let me put it another way. Jesus faced the buffeting waves so that you and I, if we trust in him, could one day enjoy peace forever. Now, if you're a Christian this morning and some things feel like things are just too scary, too out of control, if you're finding it hard not to fear, well, I hope you find it helpful being reminded of who is with you in the boat, if you like. Someone who is, as we'll sing in a few moments, strong and who is kind. Sometimes we need to tell that to ourselves, don't we? To remind ourselves of it when we forget. More often than not, we need to ask his help to remember and to trust in him and not to fear. Perhaps you could do that this morning. And if perhaps you wouldn't describe yourself as being a Christian, well, I wonder what you make of all of that. Maybe your impression that the message about Jesus, it's all wishful thinking. It's a bit like a superhero movie, actually. It's a fairy tale that allows weak people to get through life, or perhaps just want to stick their fingers in their ears and ignore the troubles we face in life altogether. But you see, that is not what the Bible's like at all. See, the Bible describes our world just as it is, in all of the mess and sadness and the chaos. And doesn't pretend that if we only trust in Jesus enough, that he'll spare us all of that in the here and now. Because he hasn't promised to do that. And yet he has promised that if we trust in him, he'll be with us through it all. And more even than that, that in Jesus, God has done something about it. That Jesus died and rose again. And that because he did, we can be certain that all of that chaos will one day be done away with forever. Jesus really is the hero of the world story. And if you trust in him, he'll be the hero of yours too. Let me lead us in a prayer. We praise you this morning, Lord Jesus, as one who has real power. Power over everything which leaves us feeling utterly powerless. For those of us who have already trusted in you, we ask you would please help us not to fear, but to trust you. And we ask that even today, someone who's never before acknowledged your own power over their lives for themselves would do just that. Would look to you as their rescuer and their king. Would know the promise of your presence with them through every storm they might face. and the promise of your rescue from the chaos of this world to an eternity with you in perfect peace. We ask all of these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.